These trees he cuts into logs about 3 feet long and floats them down to the dam where he piles them up. Then, when the great freeze comes, most of this wood will be frozen under the ice where the beaver can get at it. Day after day, he comes out and gets a stick, carries it into his house, and eats the bark. When it is stripped clean and white, he puts it back on the dam and gets another stick. Thus, he and his family live under the ice all winter long. His mud house by this time has frozen until it is as hard as steel, and it would take a strong enemy to break into it, although the top still shows above the ice and snow. Today, the beaver has nearly disappeared from the United States. He is sometimes protected in the Adirondack region and in the state of Maine, but the timbermen soon get angry because of his destruction of their trees. Then the law is again repealed, and the beaver again disappears. Away to the northwest in Idaho and Montana, he is probably still found in his wild state, enjoying his freedom. But he is almost sure finally to disappear, like all his wild kindred whose fur is valuable, or whose hides or bones can be made useful to man. So the beaver will go the way of the bison and the American Indian. He was most useful before the coming of the white man in clearing his beautiful meadows and in making them ready for the farmer, but he has served his day and done his work, so he disappears just as many other beautiful and wonderful creatures have done. I always think of the beaver with gratitude and affection and sorrow when I remember that soon his sleek coat will wholly disappear, not only from the fur market, but from his own plump body, where God first placed it. Goodbye, little American. We are grateful to you for all you did for us even before we came to your wilderness.